Good morning. You are listening to the radio worship service from St. Stephen's Lutheran Church in Beaver Dam. We pray that you are blessed through this time of worship with us. I am Pastor Paul Stratman, and I will serve as today's worship leader. The hymns will be sung by members of St. Stephen's, led by organist Dale Grulke. Pastor Philip Heyer will deliver the message for the day, "Will You Go Where God Tells You to Go?" Our worship begins with the singing of the hymn, "Lord, Open Now My Heart to Hear." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Let us confess our sins to the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess to you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them, and I pray of your boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Our gracious Father in heaven has been merciful to us. He sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, who gave his life as the atoning sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. The scripture reading, which will also be the sermon text for this Sunday in the season of Lent, is recorded in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 8. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Get out of your country and away from your relatives and from your father's house, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. You will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse anyone who dishonors you. All the families of the earth will be blessed through you." So Abram went as the Lord had told him. Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abram took Sarai, his wife, Lot, his brother's son, and all the possessions they had accumulated and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out to travel to the land of Canaan. Eventually, they arrived in the land of Canaan. Abram passed through the land until he came to the Oak of Moreh at the place called Shechem. The Canaanites were in the land at that time. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, I will give this land to your descendants. Abram built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. He moved on from there to the hill country east of Bethel and pitched his tent there with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and proclaimed the name of the Lord. The word of the Lord. After the congregation has sung the hymn, I leave all things to God's direction, we'll hear the message for the day, Will You Go Where God Tells You to Go?
Dear friends in Christ, there are two or three questions that seemingly recur many times through our lives. Basically, the questions ask the same thing, they just ask it in a couple of different ways. The questions are ones like this: what should I do? Where should I go? What direction should I take? These questions come up rather early in life, perhaps as early as 6th, 7th, or 8th grade, at least here among our Christian children in our school, these questions should come up. What should I do? Where should I go to high school? Should I attend Beaver Dam High School? Or should I attend Lakeside Lutheran High School, where I'll hear God's word every day and where every class subject has God's word for its underpinnings? Or should I maybe attend Luther Preparatory School in Watertown, where God's word is also the foundation of everything taught and done there? and where they would also be putting before me the possibility of serving Jesus in my life by being a Lutheran school teacher or a pastor. Then the questions arise again as high school graduation nears. What should I do? Where should I go? College? If so, what college? Or into the workforce or the military? And then once you're in the workforce, the questions will occasionally arise again. A job offer comes. What should I do? Where should I go? And maybe job offers don't come, but you realize it's time to get out of the current job and find a new one again. What should I do? Where should I go? I don't know that Abram was asking these questions at the time of his life that we heard in Genesis chapter 12. Perhaps a couple decades before, with his father Terah, his wife Sarai, and Lot his nephew, the son of his deceased brother, they had moved from Ur of the Chaldees to Haran, originally intending to move to Canaan. But they stopped and settled in Haran. And just a little geography to help us picture on the globe where these places were. Haran was in the area that today would probably be northern Syria, right near the border with Turkey. Ur, Abram's original home, was in what is now southern Iraq, toward the Persian Gulf, near Kuwait. But Abram seemed to be content there in Haran, probably not asking those questions above. And then it all changed. The Lord God told him to pick up and move, to go where he would show him. Now the questions may have entered his mind. What should I do? Should I go? But setting aside what we would think might have been several good reasons to stay, Abram went where God told him to go. We also might think Abram had good reasons to stay put. He and his family were now familiar with and comfortable in Haran. They were established in business among the ranchers and herdsmen around Haran. They had already made a long move from Ur to Haran, maybe 500 or 600 miles, and now a move to Canaan, as Abram and his father had originally intended, would be another 400 or 500 miles. They would be far from family and friends, and Abram was 75 years old. But God's reasons to go far outweighed any reasons Abram could come up with to stay. So he went. Today we look at Abram and his relationship with the Lord, and then look at ourselves and our relationship with him. We consider going in the sense of not only physically picking up and moving somewhere, but also in the sense of just going about life, going in a particular direction in life. To evaluate our relationship with our God in this way, we ask the question, will you go where God tells you to go? And we find that he gives you good reasons to go. Reason number one for Abram to go where God told him to go wasn't a reason that God spoke to Abram. The reason is in the one who was speaking. This was the Lord, God himself. As Adam and Eve and every one of their descendants since has found out, it is not good to disobey your Creator. It results in a separation from him and from all of his goodness, now and eternally. But now for the reasons the Lord gave directly to Abram to go where God was telling him to go. The Lord told Abram, I will bless you. God promised Abram that as he went where the Lord told him to go, he would bless him. And when we think of the words bless and blessing, we tend to think of good things, things that make us happy. And that is certainly true, but there is more to a blessing. As we consider our relationship with our God and God's working in our lives, it might be better to understand God saying to Abram and to us, I will cause and allow all things to happen in your life that will be for your good and happiness now and in eternity. As God had blessed Abram, so he would continue to do so. He had provided for Abram's earthly needs, allowing him to amass herds and flocks of animals. He had workers and extended family members in his life. He had the promise of God's love and eternal blessing and the promise of a Savior who would gain for him eternal and perfect happiness with God himself. Those good things continued through Abram's life, wherever he was. But the Lord also allowed challenging circumstances in Abram's life, through which the blessing of growth in trust and love in the Lord would occur. Such was the case when Abram would deal occasionally with his nephew Lot, or later on when the Lord called on Abram to sacrifice his dearly loved son Isaac. And oh, how the Lord taught and nurtured the virtue and blessing of patience in Abram and Sarai, as he promised them that son whom he didn't give them until they were about 100 years old. God's reason number two for Abram to go where God would tell him to go was, I will make you a blessing. How true that already was regarding Abram. But it continued, perhaps to a greater degree. Abram had moved to Haran with his father. Certainly in the later years of his father's life, Abram the son was a blessing as he cared for his elderly father. Abram was a husband, a godly husband. What a blessing to Sarai, his wife. Abram's brother, whose name was Haran, had died while the family still lived in Ur. It seems Abram took over guardianship of Lot, which was a blessing to Lot throughout his life. At least twice after Lot had chosen to live close to Sodom and Gomorrah, Uncle Abraham came to his physical and perhaps spiritual rescue. And finally, Abram had acquired many people while in Haran, servants and hired laborers who were physically and no doubt spiritually blessed through their relationships with this godly man. But reason or promise number three given by the Lord to Abram is the big one for us. This promise of blessing is just the continuation or repeating of the promise that we hear in Genesis 3, verse 15, in which God handed out his condemnation of Satan, which was also his promise of rescue to Adam and Eve after their fall into unbelief, sin, and death. The Lord God said to Satan, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will bruise his heel. That was the first promise of the rescuer. A descendant of the woman Eve would come to the rescue of sinners. And now the Lord was telling Abram that he was part of that rescuer's earthly lineage. In you, through your family, the rescuer will come who will be a blessing for the entire human family. The world needed this rescuer. Abram needed this rescuer. For as often as Abram is set before us in the scriptures as that hero of faith, the father of believers who went where God told him to go, there are several accounts in scripture of his lack of faith, going opposite to God's directions. One of them appears shortly after today's lesson. Abram and his entourage had reached Canaan. Then a drought and famine came, forcing them to move the clan to Egypt to find food. And since they were foreigners there, Abram was worried about poor treatment. He was especially worried about himself, since his wife Sarai was a very lovely woman. He worried that the Egyptian leaders would notice her beauty and that one of them would want her for himself and would kill Abram to have her. So Abram concocted a boneheaded plan in which they would tell the Egyptians that Sarai was Abram's sister. If you ask me, that just opened the door for the Egyptian pharaoh to take her, since she was apparently unattached. Nice husband. Certainly he was not a blessing to Sarai in that situation. In the end, the Lord himself had to step in and rescue his people. And then there was the lack of faith in following the Lord's direction when it came to the promise of the son. They ran out of faith and patience. Sarai suggested that Abram have relations with her servant woman and that perhaps a son would be born who could be Abraham's heir. That created problems that are probably still afflicting the entire world today. Yet the Lord remained faithful to his promise and in his time gave them that son who would be another generation in the line of the coming rescuer, Jesus. That rescuer came for people like me and you. In our lives, we, like Abram, will try to not let ourselves be seen for who and what we are. He didn't want to be known as Sarai's husband. Too often, we try to hide that we are the children of God. We hide it through behaviors that go along with our culture or with people around us. And when it comes to God's gift of marriage, many times we don't go where God wants us to go. We who are husbands can be self-centered men like Abram, who will often hang our wives out to dry, so to speak. Wives and husbands will often forget, as did Sarai and Abram, that we've committed to each other, to be in this together, in the good times and in the challenging ones. The lusts in our hearts have led all of us to sinful thoughts about others, and in many cases to acts that might be called love by our culture, but in reality are love for no one except self. So, when it comes to standing out as a child of God or standing up for his institution of marriage or any of his other commands for our lives, Do you go where God tells you to go? Abram didn't always. I? No way. You? But he gives you and me reason, good reason, to go where he tells us to go. It all starts with that third reason we had before. You are part of all families of the world, and Jesus, the descendant of Abram, and God's son, has come to be your rescuer. Not only did he go where God told him to go in his living, but in dying too. Jesus came to be obedient to every command of God for you and me and for all. And then he even went when God told him to go to a cross to die and be in hell because we haven't gone where God has told us to go in our lives. When he rose from that punishing death, he told you and me that he is taking us to that perfect and eternal heavenly home of his, since we aren't able to get there ourselves. Because of that greatest of blessings, the others that the Lord promised Abram, he also promises to you. And for all these reasons, we go in life and in living where he tells us to go. I will bless you. Wherever you go, he promises to bless in Jesus. He made the promise in your baptism. He continues to make it and keep it in his supper of forgiveness and in his precious word. That means eternal blessings. But physical blessings included. He provides for our needs, gives us joyful happenings, lets some tough times come for our growth. And he says, I will make you a blessing. Has he made you to be a godly husband or wife? You're a blessing to your spouse. Are you a godly child? You're a blessing to parents and grandparents. Are you a godly parent? You're a blessing to children God has entrusted to your physical and spiritual care. Are you a godly grandparent? You're a blessing to those grandchildren. You're a blessing as you humbly serve in whatever capacity God gives you. You are a blessing to those under your leadership or authority at some times. We could go on and on, touching every nook and cranny of our lives. But let's bring that great promise and blessing number three back into the picture. God told Abram, all families of the world will be blessed in you. Again, that was the promise of the Savior that every person in this world needs. Whatever part of this world you occupy, with the people in your world, you have many opportunities to speak of the need you have for the Savior and the need that your neighbors have for him. When you talk about that Savior, heaven, and your expectation of it, you are a blessing to everyone in your world. So will you go where God tells you to go? Amen. And we confess our Christian faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our worship continues with the hymn, I'm But a Stranger Here.
Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for teaching us the things you want us to believe and do. Help us by your Holy Spirit to keep your word in pure hearts, that we may be strengthened in faith, guided in holiness, and comforted in life and in death. We ask this through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Taught by our Savior, we are bold to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. We close our service with the hymn, Let Us Ever Walk with Jesus. You have been listening to the radio service from St. Stephen's Lutheran Church in Beaver Dam. This radio service is broadcast every Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m. here on WBEV. You can also join us for worship in person. Our services are at 8 and 10 o'clock Sunday mornings, 6:30 Thursday evenings, and 1:30 Friday afternoons. If you would like a printed copy of today's message or want to contact one of our pastors, please write to us at 300 West Street, Beaver Dam, Wisconsin, 53916. You can also find more information and listen to streaming audio of our radio services at www.ssbdwels.com.